You put these two, 12 and 13. Drew? Who wants to go first? The big one. All right, Drew. Where were we? Oh, Matthew 6, verses 25 through 34. Donald, Proverbs 3, 5 through 8. Alex, Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. Alex, 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. Well, as Andy was mentioning, yesterday we celebrated Independence Day. And almost 240 years ago, we signed the Declaration of Independence, and we celebrated being independent from England. We wanted our own country, a lot of which because we didn't like England's rules. We don't like England's taxes. We didn't like the way the government began controlling people when it came to issues of religion and through the church, controlling people, and government was using religion to control the people. And of course, the only religion was that there was Christianity, but it's how that was allowed to be practiced. There were certainly some people that came to the New World, looking for other reasons to as they call it, to catch fish, see what would be gained through the new markets. But most came for religious freedom, not freedom from religion, but freedom of religion, within the context of Christianity. And they fled for that freedom, and then they fought to keep that freedom. And one of the things we celebrate on the 4th of July is those who fought for that freedom and those who continue to fight for that freedom. Independence Day. That resonates with our people of our country. We have an independent spirit. It's just kind of natural. Nobody can tell me what to do. Not England, not France, not my parents. Nobody is going to tell me what to do. It's considered a positive trait to be fiercely independent. Now, a lot of us are kind of like Pinocchio. That's dated here. How many have seen Pinocchio? All right, spanning generations. So you know about Pinocchio. He didn't want no strings to hold him down. He didn't want anything to be holding him back. Independence has come to be such a positive word in many ways in our culture. We have Independence Hall. We have Independence Village. Our church's financial institution is Independent Bank. It's a positive word in our country, and it's such a popular concept. We sometimes celebrate it, even if we don't know why we're doing it. Now, this is just some anecdotal. Jason, we're gonna pull up the next video, there's research to back this up, how little we know why we're celebrating independence, but here's some anecdotal evidence. I'm sure this will be true in Michigan, but these are some people from San Diego, so.
What country famously broke away from England to start their own country in the late 1700s?
I have no idea, man. I don't know.
What are we celebrating on the 4th of July?
Our independence.
A little more specific.
It's the day that we overtook the South. And it's the day that, it's our independence. That's why we have the fight.
From the South.
From the South, exactly.
So it was the victory of the Civil War?
Yes.
4th of July?
Yes.
The Declaration of Independence was signed by who?
I don't know.
Just name one person.
Abraham Lincoln? I don't know.
All right. What year was that Declaration of Independence?
Was it 1964? 84?
1984?
I don't know. 1864?
I don't know. No one in this country is in trouble. Okay. What country did we declare our independence from? Help me, man. No, just you. You're on your own.
California.
From. We declared independence from certain country, which is why we celebrate 4th of July. What country was that?
You're going to be celebrating, though?
Yes.
But you don't know what you're celebrating.
That's tonight's home. Back in the late 1700s, when Jesse Ventura and John Wilkes Booth and the other founding fathers signed the Declaration of Independence, what year was that exactly?
Sometime in the 1700s, I'm not sure.
How many stars on this flag? 50-something? Well, what country did we declare independence from back in the 1770s? You don't know?
No.
Which is kind of the reason we celebrate the 4th of July.
I have no idea.
You're still going to celebrate.
I'm still going to celebrate.
You should have your celebration revoked.
Because
now
I don't
know. Celebrate. Yeah, I'm banning you now.
Okay.
Celebrating.
Well, I'm terrible.
What are we celebrating on the 4th of July exactly?
Independence Day?
Specifically?
I don't know. I'm so bad at this. Say Independence Day. Say when we want our independence.
Wrong.
Those countries. Maybe some camera too.
Name one of the founding fathers of America. You don't know? What year did we declare independence from Britain?
1773? I don't know. I have no idea.
Get people's thoughts on what country we broke away from when we declared independence back in 1773. Didn't know. America celebrates the 4th of July.
Is it Independence Day when you go reading Rudolph Moderingham, right?
Yes! I don't know why we celebrate more than America.
Everybody loves to get rid of their, the colonizers. So it's always good.
It's always good. Thanks for knowing that. That's incredible, man. Have a good vacation. Yeah. Thanks for watching.
So, sometimes independence gets celebrated when we don't know why, in many ways, we all need the answers to those questions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Dental school, we got it. All right. Yeah. All right. So, in many ways, being independent is a concept we celebrate. But I want today, the day after Independence Day, to be a day where we consider to be Dependence Day, or in space, Dependence Day. As a positive word as independence has become, dependence seems to be just as negative. Nobody wants to be dependent. You don't want to be dependent on things. You don't want to be dependent on people. Especially after a certain age, right? Even your taxes, you're writing down on your taxes, someone is dependent if they're not, living on their own. Dependence screams of helplessness. Like if we're addicted to something, we're said to be dependent on it. Dependence isn't seem to be is a positive trait, a positive adjective to be dependent. What's the most popular brand of adult diapers? Exactly. It's not a positive connotation. So, but dependence on God is the most positive attribute we could ever have. In fact, the earliest reactions to July 4th, maybe not a lot of historical debate about this, but actually when the Declaration of Independence was adopted, it was July 2nd. And then on July 4th, it was signed, and some historians say it was even later. But the actual adoption of it was on July 2nd. On July 3rd, John Adams, who's the second president of the United States, wrote to his wife, Abigail. He wrote, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God Almighty. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward, forevermore. So even then, he was saying, July 3rd, the day after it was adopted, ought to be to be celebrated with devotion or dependence, a show of dependence on God. Philippians 2, verses 12 and 13.
Therefore, my dear friends, you will always obey, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose.
Okay, so it says God who works in you to will and to act to fulfill his good purpose. So it's God who does it. Without God, we are powerless, defenseless, helpless. That God has adopted us and became our Father, giving us the ability to grow in our desire to serve him. And also, in order to do this, we have to submit or be dependent to him in his direction in our life. I've had a first-hand education in dependence this last week and a half. I had a hernia surgery almost 2 weeks ago, and after the surgery, I was told all the stuff that I couldn't do and be dependent on other people for. Top of the list was I couldn't lift anything over 5 pounds for 6 weeks. I don't know if you thought about that, 5 pounds, that is not a lot. And I tried to be a good patient. I think my Bible weighs 5 pounds, so that's been a hard one. But so since then, I've been dependent on my family for almost everything. I remember 2 mornings after surgery, I woke up, and there's no milk for cereal. And Amy had gone to work, and I sat there and waited, wanted to sit there, waited for like 2 hours for breakfast, so one of the boys, to go downstairs and get some milk from the basement and bring it up, because I was told that milk is 8.6 pounds per gallon of milk. And so, and coupled with going upstairs, I waited. Yesterday I was watching as Amy's pushing the stuff inside in the chest freezer and they're looking for hamburgers and stuff. I just had to sit there and want to help but can't. I went to Sam's baseball game and he's lugging all his baseball stuff and I'm like, oh, buddy, you need to carry my chair, too. So he's like lugging all my stuff up, his shirt up, and I'm just, trailing behind. It's really hard to, and obviously, it's been so tragic, I can't even, pull up a razor to shave for the last 2 weeks. No, that's not true, I just got laid. I was told he's brought over firewood yesterday, and I remember I was moving one piece of wood while Isabel was moving six, and that made me feel big too. But I'm learning, learning the force of dependence. And dependence on other people can make us feel weak, but dependence on God is when we're truly strong. Matthew 6, verses 25 to 34.
Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air, they do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon and all this splendor is dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, for you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans are after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
So, we see in these verses that birds are dependent on God, flowers are dependent on God, but they don't struggle with this fact. They're not somehow trying to, come up with a new way to be self-sufficient. God takes care of the birds. They're dependent on him. Now, it's important to note, God doesn't throw the food into their nest, right? They do have to do some work for it, but God provides for them. They, like the flowers and the grass in the field, they're dependent on God for their survival. And everything that the birds need is provided by God and available to them. So, and not only is God's provision better than ours, But his wisdom is better than ours as well. We're dependent on his wisdom to know what's right and to know what's wrong. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring you health to your body and nourishment to your bones.
Okay, so lean not on your understanding. In all your ways, submit. Be dependent on him. Do not be wise in your own eyes. This is such an important concept, to do what God says is right, not what we think is right. Right? Because that's important, because Stalin did what he thought was right with communism. Hitler did what he thought was right. The earth was flooded, and God punished the nation of Israel in different times when the Bible says that when everyone did what was right in their own eyes. Not everyone set out to do evil or be bad, but everyone did, not what God had said, but what they thought was right in their own eyes. So, you know, I know God said no to this, but I think it's fine. Or God says this isn't permissible, but I think it should be permissible. When we get in trouble is when we're not dependent on God, his provision, his wisdom. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9.
For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways than our ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts.
So God says be dependent on them, because you don't always understand. And anybody here, any parent here, understands that. The kid wants something, and you can't give it to them because it's not good for them. Or they want to do something a certain way, and you don't let them have it because that's not going to be good for them, or that's not going to be safe for them. You know, sometimes kids want what they want, kind of like a kite wanting to be free from its string. Have you ever seen a kite free from its string? It has no direction. It just flops around in the wind. It's like God says his ways are higher than our ways. His understanding is higher than our understanding. It's like that old story of the bear caught in the trap, right? And the hunter, or the, not the hunter, but man comes across a bear in the woods, he's caught in a bear trap. And he has pity on the bear, he wants to help the bear, but the bear doesn't understand what this man is doing, and is a little, you know, apprehensive about this man coming up to him. He's already stuck in a bear trap. And, so the man said, well, the only way I'm going to be able to help this bear is to shoot him with a trinket off the gun. So now he's scared of this man, but now he's been shot. Now this man is shooting him, what the bear thinks. But now the man looks at him, well, he's tranquilized now, but to actually, to get the tension on the bear trap loose, I'm going to have to push his foot down deeper into the trap to get the tension let loose. So not only is this man who I was scared of shooting me, but now he's even trying to torture me. And of course, all the while, the man is trying to help the bear. Well, so much higher are his God's ways than our ways than man is over a bear. It's so important to lean on, not on our own understanding, but in God's wisdom. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 9 and 10.
But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong.
I love this verse. The end of it is that first verse I ever memorized. I wasn't even a Christian. I memorized this verse. I think I must have been King James, because I remember as for when I am weak, then am I strong? So, and maybe I remember as the King James. I remember just repeating it over and over at a certain point in my life when I was in high school. And it also is a great description of when we are weak, then I'm strong. When I let God take over, when I'm dependent on him, then I become strong. I don't know how many of you have heard of Team Hoyt. Dick Hoyt and his son, Rick. Dick Hoyt is from Boston, and his son was born, My umbilical cord was wrapped around the neck, and ended up with brain damage, and so that he couldn't walk, use his hands to talk, and still can't his whole life. This still really affected me because I heard about it first heard about it after Sam was born, and Sam had some struggles when he was being born because the cord was wrapped around his neck. In fact, it was wrapped around his neck 3 times, and there was a knot tied in it. We found out later. The doctor thought it was great, you know, Sam's going to go, woo, woo, woo. But the saving grace for him was the extraordinary long umbilical cord caused him not to have that oxygen deficiency. But for Dick, quite, they weren't as lucky, and the doctors told the father to put his son in an institution because he's never going to be able to walk, talk, use his hands. But the dad could see that there was intelligence in his son's eyes and took the baby home, took Rick home. And he knew he was intelligent, and he ended up taking to Tufts University. And there they developed a computer that he could use by using his head and the button on the side of it to tap out words. Using a computer, hooked up to a computer. And so he was able to learn to converse. Rick graduated from high school. From public high school. He later got a degree in special education from Boston College. And one day he was at a basketball game, and he heard about a benefit run that was being put on for an injured player. And so he communicated and tapped out to his dad that he wanted to do that. He wanted to be part of this run. And his dad never raced in a race before, and he pushed his son in this race. And he said most people thought they'd just get to the corner and turn back. And they went. It was a whole 5-mile race, and he pushed them through the whole 5-mile race. And when they crossed the finish line, they were done. Rick said that was the first time in his life that he didn't feel handicapped. And that's how it all started. It's been 40 years that Dick Hoyt has been running marathons and triathlons and Ironman triathlons. They ran across the whole country together. In fact, you know, the next time I can do the picture. This is a year ago at the Boston Marathon, I think, or a few years ago. This last Boston Marathon was the last one. But you know, Dick Hoyt there, the father, and this son Rick in the wheelchair, and there's a statue that they now have at the Boston Marathon that commemorates these two. And you notice Rick in the wheelchair in the statue with his fist up, because he never felt more alive, and he doesn't feel handicapped, and he places himself completely in the arms of his dad. He says he felt most alive in his racing, even though he's totally dependent on his father. And Rick cannot race without his dad, and the dad will not race without the son. And Dick tells people he's become his son, his arms and legs. I know we strive for that saying, being God's hands and feet, but God is our arms and legs. And it reminds us of our relationship with God, that we can't run the race on our own. We have to be dependent on God. God gives us the means that we need in order to run and win the race. And you know, for 40 years, dad and son who've never been in a race before separately and never will be separately, but at least the dad about the son. I'm going to play you a video here in a moment, Jason, of Dick Hoyt and Rick Hoyt competing together. And maybe I've said enough times now that I hold back the tears, but I want you to watch this video to consider yourself in the place of Rick, the one that's riding in the cart, the one that's riding in the raft, the one that's riding in the front of the bike, that we're totally dependent on our God who delivers us and empowers us to finish the race. But put yourself in that position. as we watch this video. So Jason, if you could do the lights and just how wonderful it is to be dependent.
Who taught the sun where to stand in the morning? And who taught the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch falling stars? Well, I know very deep this. I know very deep this. All of creation testifies this life within me cries. I know very deep this. The very same God whose fist is torment runs to the weary, the worn, and the weak. And the same gentle hands that hold me when I'm broken, they come and dare to bring the victory. Marks me down with the dependence.
of our independence, to trade our fake pearls for his real pearls. Because on my own, apart from Christ, I can do nothing. Heavenly Father, I ask that we have that natural human inclination of independence. My way, my thoughts, my ideas of right and wrong, that we submit those things, that we lay all of those things at your feet, to become dependent on you, that when I am weak, that I am strong, that your arms are stronger than anything I can muster on my own. Help me each day to become more dependent. And each day that I grow, my faith and we become even larger. God is in your name. Amen. Well, let's our closing song is the song of dependence. And maybe you can use this as your prayer. Another way of saying dependence is need. And we're going to sing together, I need thee every hour. And just to be thinking about the own ways in your life where maybe you said, God, I know this was your way, but I chose this. I know that this is your thoughts, but I supplanted them with my thoughts. And I know that has happened many times in my life. But let this be a time, an hour of admitting those times, and confessing those times, and agreeing with God to become more dependent on Him. Please.